喂呀哟，喂呀哎呀哟，喂呀哟哟。
William Clark, August 29, 1804. Sergeant Pryor informs me that when they came near the Indian camp, they were met by men with a buffalo robe to carry them. A fat dog was presented as a mark of their great respect for the party.
This is Wisdom of the Elders. I'm Arlie Nesky. It was the moon of the ripe plums, late summer. Most of the men were still away hunting buffalo when a white soldier and a French trader beached their large canoe and entered the Yankton Sioux village. They were welcomed with a generous show of hospitality and honored with special food. They had come as envoys from Lewis and Clark, Yankton Sioux scholar Dr. Leonard Bruyer.
In certain ceremonies, that meant that we consider you friends. And friend as a term is closer than brother and sister. When you make somebody your friend, you know you're bringing somebody into your family. And that's what they made these people that came up. They made them friends.
The Yankton Sioux lived east of the Missouri in today's South Dakota and Iowa. They were a river people, agrarian, peaceful, matrilineal. On August 27th, as Lewis and Clark's little Missouri Navy passed the James River, an Indian boy swam out to meet them. They learned that a large Yankton village lay not far up the James. Sergeant Nathaniel Pryor and a French trader named Pierre Dorion were sent to the village to invite the Indian leaders for a council. The Yankton attempted to honor the two men by carrying them into camp on a buffalo robe. Refusing the ride, they were then escorted into the village and honored with a special meal, dog soup. Dr. Leonard Bruyer.
Shunka, the dog. Dog has a long, 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 long history with us. I know it goes back into antiquity, millenniums. And Indians had this respect for this animal. And certain ceremonies, they fed them dog, which also means that they were given the highest honor that they could, ultimate respect. They would have a dog ready for that purpose.
LaDonna Brave Bull Allard is tribal historian for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Fort Yates, North Dakota.
We believe that dogs, the Shunkas, are sacred. They are born with medicine in their bodies. And one of the things that we always tell people is like, when you're a child and you fall down and hurt your knee and a dog comes and it'll lick the wound, they have a healing component in their saliva. The same with us. When we are sick, there is healing components in the dogs that will heal our bodies. And so we use that same component.
The council between Lewis and Clark and the Yankton Sioux took place at Calumet Bluff on the Missouri River on August 30th, 1804.
They were over in council at what is today Gavin's Point Dam. They handed out peace medals, and they call them friendship medals, and had big powwow dancing and all those cultural activities that Indians do. Somebody told them that a little baby had been born. So they said, oh, bring him up. So they did. The story goes, they wrapped this little baby in an American flag, and they said, this baby's going to grow up to be a man, and this man is going to be a good American.
The baby became known as Strikes the Ree. By the 1850s, when the Yankton were moved onto a reservation, he had become a head man.
Strikes the Ree was Catholic, but he was a practicing Presbyterian. When he's an old man, right as he went into the church, they had the bishop's chair. That was the Strikes the Ree chair. And the story is that when they'd hear him, they had to a wooden sidewalk, and he would cane. And they'd hear him coming, and then nothing started until he'd come in, he'd sit down, and then the services would start. And he was an assimilationist. He had been to Washington, D.C., been to New York, been to Baltimore, been all those places, and he was very impressed by how many white people there were. So the way it's been interpreted is that he told his people that if you go to war with them, you can kill them and kill them and kill them, but they'll keep coming because they have so many of them over there. You could war until you're no longer there.
I'm Arlie Nesky, and this is Wisdom of the Elders. For Yankton Sioux Tribal Elder Clarence Rockboy, life flows like a river. Its relentless power moves a person through a number of twists and turns, some good, some bad. And in understanding its unique patterns and currents, it's always good to look at its source. For today's Elder Wisdom, Brian Bull has more.
In his large wood-paneled house in Lake Andy, South Dakota, Clarence Rockboy moves carefully about, sometimes with a cane, sometimes with a helping hand from his wife or relative. He sits in an easy chair, wispy, graphite-colored hair framing his face, and reflects on his parents.
My father is, his name is Tokahuxila, which means rock boy. My grandfather used to help my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a medicine man, so he'd run sweats and put people up on the hill, Vision Quest. So from that, his name come from the sweat lodge, because he'd haul rocks in, put rocks into the sweat lodge. So that's where he got his name from, Tokahuxila, which means rock boy. My mother, she was from Fort Thompson. They're called sitting bears. Some of my nephews would say, my Uncle Clarence, he's the uncle to everyone on this reservation.
The Yankton Sioux called themselves Dakota, which means alliance of friends. Dakota refers to the Eastern Santee and Yankton Sioux, while Lakota refers to the Western Teton Sioux. Rockboy tells that Yankton people, who speak both N or Nakota and D or Dakota dialect, as opposed to the Lakota who speak the L dialect, were driven out of Minnesota by the Chippewa and by the Minnesota Uprising, and settled along the rivers in eastern South Dakota.
Whenever they meet, they have a large encampment. Well, then we were always placed outside of the encampment to watch out for oncoming enemies and so forth. I'd like to brag about that. Well, I said, we were such fierce warriors that they always put us on outskirts to protect the rest of you. We were the best horsemen and best shots with bow and arrows. I was just teasing them. You know. But we always be arguing between L and D. Say, look, I said, the L people said, we were here first. No way, I said. We were the D-speaking people. If not so, this would be South Lakota and North Lakota, but it's South Dakota and North Dakota. But then one of my friends from up there, he's pretty smart. Say, look, my friends, I'm gonna tell you, he said, even the Great Spirit knows that we were here first. You listen to this, he said. He says, the angels up there, when they sing, they say hallelujah. They do not say hallelujah, he said. So we all teach each other who was here first.
Although valuable pipestone deposits were held sacred by tribes far beyond Dakota Territory, the 1858 treaty with the Yankton Sioux gave them free and unrestricted use of the pipestone quarry at Pipestone, Minnesota. Since it has become a national monument, the Yankton Sioux, along with many Lakota elders, feel that pipestone is too sacred to be sold and that quarrying should be limited to specific ceremonial use. They've organized ceremonial runs and attracted national attention to sensitive issues regarding the sale of pipestone and sacred pipes. The debate continues to this day, with other tribal members who have used the quarry for generations.
Government officials got together and they signed a treaty with the Yankton Sioux people. Our leader at that time was struck by the reed. Him and another chief called Smutty Bear, they wanted to retain that pipestone quarry because they use it for their peace pipes. So they agreed. They wouldn't let them have it. That's in that 1858 treaty that they make us stewards of that pipestone. So we can go up there any time and dig for Catalinite. And then we had some of the families go up and live up there and take care of that. And then different tribes come to dig for their pipestone for usage of in their pipes.
Rockboy says another part of his culture is coming back. As part of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, state officials have begun to restore Spirit Mound. Rockboy says Indians honor spirit mounds of spiritual relevance, including the little people who are said to live there.
I actually saw one. A lot of people see them, but then they're afraid of them because they're superstitious. The little people, they will not hurt you. They're just around to help you. They're the spirits of the elders that passed on. So my father, my mother, and I, we were down in Soda Creek. There were some out there. So, Dad, I just saw them. There's two of them. What are they? Who are those? My mother said, don't look at them. You're gonna have bad luck. Dad said, oh, don't listen to her. Go ahead. He said, just go ahead and look at them. They're just little men. They're running around in the woods on the trees over there. So soon after, we did have good luck. One of my nephews, he was sickly. He had diabetes. So I told my father, take me over to nephew's place. Okay, why? I'm going to pray for him, I said. I'm going to tell him what I saw. Okay, so he took me over, and so I prayed for him, and I swatted him off. And here, a couple days later, he got well. And, you know, just through the help of them, the little people.
Rockboy says besides buffalo and cultural sites, he's concerned about reviving one more part of Yankton Sioux culture, reverence for women. He says his grandfather taught him early on to treat women kindly and with respect.
They're very powerful people, so don't be beating up on women. And then if you ever get married, don't ever speak out of turn to women, because eventually she's going to probably bury some children. That's the first thing he told me, have respect for women. Womanhood. This here ground that you're standing on, they call that Grandmother Earth, he said. Everything comes from here, and everything goes back to this ground. So have respect for this ground. And then my wife, to this day, I never did strike her. Well, we'd argue, but that's to be understood. We have this disagreement here and there, but I never did strike her. And then my son can witness for that. Witness that for me, too. He never did see me hit his mother. Boy, Dad, he said, your mom tells you to do this and do that. You go ahead and do it. Are you afraid of her? He said, no. I said, I just was told by my grandpa to respect women. And women, said, that's what I do. So you do the same thing, too, I said. They don't speak out of line to their wives while I'm around.
Today, Rockboy spends his time helping his wife with her work at the Native American Women's Health Resource Center.
That's another thing my father told me. He said, what I'm telling you is you pass that on to young people, he said. Don't hold anything back. That's what was taught to me, to my father. I talk to them and sing a song for them, or, you know, and pray for them and talk to them about our life, our spirituality of the ancient Sioux.
For Wisdom of the Elders, I'm Brian Bull.
Brian Bull is Assistant News Director for Wisconsin Public Radio and is an enrolled member of the Nez Perce Tribe. He lives with his wife, two kids, and three cats in Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up in Sacred Landscape, Judy Bluehorse Skelton shares some insights into the nature of sacred places. And in Tribal Rhythms, Nico Wynn introduces us to the music and history of the Native American Church.
My grandfather always told me, when you do something, you're going to sing. Grandson, listen. He said, sing it right. He said, know what you're singing about.
Stay with us. I'm Arlie Neskai, and this is Wisdom of the Elders.